Dana ask if I would say a few words here this evening. I'm not real sure what all to say, more than what has been said. About 2 weeks ago, I shared on a Sunday morning, and I said, "You're my family. You know Jenny, and you know me. Sadly, you know me perhaps better than you wish you did." But to have you willing to bless us and to commission us feels like a very large gift. And so we say thank you. But that Sunday morning when I shared, I had a picture up here of the 9 people that I'm responsible for right now at IGO, and then I had another picture of the 80-some people that I will be responsible for at GTO, and I told you that this is the thing I'm afraid of. And I'll be honest, this looks like a big task, and I don't wish for more responsibility. A lot of times I wish for a good bit less. And yet, we feel called and we wish to be obedient. This is home. We were talking about the building here just the other week, and Harold, yes, you have known me a long time. But just back here is where the trusses went down when we were setting them, and I landed on the hood of Harold's tractor. This is where we're from. And God has been good to us. You've been good to us. And we pray that we will be an honor to His name first and to you as a church. I was talking to one of my mentors about a year ago. I asked him how this goes with greater responsibility and staying in touch with my master. And he said, "Oh, Chad, it's the source of your strength doesn't change, but you'll have more people pulling from you. Your job is to increase the size of your pipe so that you can pull and share." So as you think about us, would you please pray for an increased intake of that blessing? Thank you.
Okay, this time we would like to proceed with the ordination. Just another, want to clarify again, an ordination, we are considering this an ordination for life. He will be a ordained minister. It does not include a charge at Calvary Chapel. It's for the work at GTO. If or when they would come home, it would not automatically transfer them to the ministry team. It has no bearing on the ministry team, the work of the ministry here at Calvary Chapel.
Chad, are you willing to accept this service and by the grace of God and the aid of His Holy Spirit, you give yourself up to the work of the Lord as a faithful minister of the Word in His church?
I am.
Do you promise to give heed to all the doctrines of the Word of God, to accept them as the rule and guide of your life, to preach and teach them, and to abide in them with unchanging fidelity unto the end? Are you willing to conduct the organization of which you shall have charge in accordance with the instructions and teachings of the gospel and the counsels of the church, and in all things to show yourself an approved workman in the vineyard of the Lord? Jenny, are you willing for your husband to accept this ministry to which he has been called? Do you promise by the grace of God and the aid of His Holy Spirit to give yourself as a faithful companion to the work of the Lord and standing by and encouraging your husband in his work? Why don't you ask the ministry team to come at this time? Chad and Jenny, upon this confession, these promises that you have made before God and these witnesses, I herewith, in the name of Jesus Christ and His Church, charge and ordain you to go and preach the gospel in its purity, to warn the sinner, to admonish the unconverted to repent, to teach, instruct, comfort, and encourage the believers. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Do the work of the evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. Likewise, give heed unto thyself. Walk circumspectly. Read the word. Meditate upon its precious precepts. Pray without ceasing. And in all things seek to be a faithful laborer in the vineyard of the Lord. Continue thou in these things, for in so doing thou shalt save both thyself and those that hear you.
Father, I want to thank you for Chad and Jim, what they mean to so many people, especially this group here. And I thank you for this congregation, for the support, for their prayers, for their encouragement. And I just pray a special blessing over Chad and Jim, that you especially protect them as they travel, and also give them wisdom in their work. In Jesus' name I pray.
Father, as we continue this prayer, I do thank you for the privilege to pray a blessing on our son, his wife. It is indeed a privilege to know that our children are walking with you. I pray that you would give them grace and give them strength. And Chad's request to just have a bigger pipeline from you, for your grace and power to flow to him. Lord, I pray that Chad would be diligent in searching and seeking you, and that he and Jenny serve and minister in Southeast Asia or the GTO, that you would walk with them when you pray for their protection, for their children, for the boys. Lord, I pray you would just bless the family. Bless their efforts that they would be there to make your name great because of their willingness to follow and to serve you.
Our Father, we thank you that you have chosen to build your church through the efforts of feeble man. Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us to be faithful in living for you and following the calling you place in each one of our lives, whatever that may be or whatever it may look like. Lord, I pray a special blessing on Chad and on Jenny right now. Lord, I just pray that you give them strength and give them grace. Give them just a deep wisdom, Lord, understanding and dealing with issues as they arise. Lord, I pray that you give them a heart for your people. I pray, Lord, that you would just really bless them. I pray for the children, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would just give each one a special measure of your grace. Help Chad and Jen, Lord, to be faithful parents. I just pray your blessing on them and on their family and on their work. We commit them to you, Lord, your blessing. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
I wasn't at all expecting to say this, and I wasn't expecting this to be emotional for me like it is. But it just suddenly dawned on me. Chad talked about falling on Harold's tractor. I fell that day too. We were 17 years old at the time. And all of a sudden, I'm the bishop of a church, ordaining him to go halfway around the world and lead another organization. I guess I would just challenge you young men, all of you, but to give it all you got. It doesn't take long. I still feel like one of the young guys. And live with no regrets. Serve the Lord while you're young. You'll never regret it. It's good to have Steve here again. Steve, you'd come. And let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness in leading. I pray again, Lord, for your blessing on this service. I pray for Steve. I pray that you would just minister to us through him. We thank you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, it's an exciting time when young people accept the challenge to follow Christ and hear his call and are obedient to that call. I remember when these guys were pretty young too. And I look out at the audience and I see little boys out there, see young youth boys, and you wonder what the next 20 years will bring to you and what you'll be involved in. For what it's worth, when I was ordained, I was pretty young and everybody else around me was pretty old. And I always thought of myself as the new kid on the block. You know, I was always a young kid. And, you know, I've carried that concept with me all my life. I still think of myself oftentimes as a young kid. And I've got to wake up and realize I'm the old man in the group, you know. It's just so different. It's a mindset I've never, ever gotten used to. I still do not really think that way. But here I am. I'm thinking of retirement, thinking about doing some things different. And I just, it's hard to believe how fast time goes like this. For those of you who don't really know who we are, Jenny is my wife's niece. That's one reason we are here. Jenny would be my wife's niece. And because I married Lois, I got Jenny too. You know, she's my niece. She's been a joy. She was a pretty little squirt when we first met. And she had great big eyes. And she's always been a really, really skinny little girl. And then she met Chad. And it's been interesting to watch their relationship and what the Lord has in store for them. This evening, you know, I heard you say, Chad, something about hearing the call from God and you wanted to respond. You have responded to that, and that we commend you for that. But I have something to tell you about that. You know, you're not done. You know, sometimes you think you hear the call and then, oh, well, that's it. And then you kind of float from there on. That's not the way it works. It's going to be a case of continually hearing God's call. That's the way it's going to work. And I'd like to talk about that this evening, about hearing the call of God. And I not only have Chad and Jenny in mind, I have every one of you in mind this evening. It is very, very important for you to hear the call of God. Sometimes we don't do real well in doing that. Sometimes we don't know how it looks, how it happens. I'd like to clear up some of that mystery tonight and give you some tools, perhaps. That's what my goal would be, for you to be able to hear the call of God in your life. And just remember, I have every one of you in mind. Now, to zero in on that, I want to go to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18. Here's a verse that I actually had used as a theme verse in my home congregation. And I really preached from this text for over a year. Now, that sounds boring, doesn't it? I mean, but this was my theme, and I kept going back to this. in helping our church work through ordination. And I learned so much and was so blessed by this verse. This verse says, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him." Now there's just so much in that verse that we can learn for ourselves. Notice it says that God sets the members. Every one of them. He's talking about any person who answers the call of God for salvation. Any person who chooses to make Jesus Christ their Savior and Lord receives a call to salvation, but they also receive a call to serve. And you need to remember that. It's like a two-part call. It's one thing to be called to salvation. It's another thing to be called to serve. And God does both. He sets every person, everyone who makes this choice, who answers the call for salvation, everyone also is given a call to serve. But so often we don't hear it. We don't hear it. And that's what I want to help you understand this evening. One of the things that stimulates our spiritual growth, when you talk about spiritual growth, growing spiritually, one of the things that stimulates that is if you feel you are making a contribution to the body of Christ. If you feel you are making a contribution, you will usually feel pretty good about yourself. I'm not getting into that whole self-image thing, but the same token, if you do not sense that you are making a contribution, people who don't sense they are contributing to church body life usually do not feel good about themselves. Did you know that? I've observed that. If you don't feel you are really contributing, you usually won't feel too good about yourself. But if you find something that you're able to plug in and do where you're kind of assisting in some way, and it doesn't have to be leadership roles, because that's a very small part of a church. We make it a big part, unfortunately. We make big deals out of it, I guess. But really, I'm going to show you tonight that is some of those are smaller things that really make a church work. And so I'm encouraging us this evening to hear the call of God. Just remember, as we kind of sum this up, what you need to get settled in your mind. This is the end of my introduction. You need to get settled in your mind. When you hear the call for salvation, God also wants you to hear a call to service. There's two parts to that, and you need to get that settled in your mind. And when you answer that call to be saved, when He calls you and asks you to come into His family, you answer that call, God will act. God acts. He places you in His family. He makes you His children, His sons and His daughters. But He also gives you a place to fill in that family. He does that. But we so often don't hear it. And there again is what I'm wanting to do this evening. Now, when it comes to understanding God's plan in this area and His plan for His church, there is no book in the Bible like the book of Ephesians. If you want to know and understand God's plan for His church, the things I'm talking about, I'm going to show you just in a moment, come from the book of Ephesians. And so I invite you to turn there. We'll be here the rest of the evening. We'll be in chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians. So let's go there and let's see how God calls and places us in His family. Let's read. I'm not reading the entire chapter. I'm just picking out some of the verses that I think will be helpful. Chapter 1, verse 4. "According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will." God calls and places us in His family. He had you in mind before the foundation of the world. He foresaw this day. He foresaw the special days in your life as well. And he foresaw that, and he has a purpose for your life. And you see that purpose is right there in verse 4. Before the foundation of the world, his purpose for you was that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. This is talking to the believer, the person who answers the call. God has a purpose for you. His purpose is he wants you to be holy and without blame. Now, when you stop and think about that, that's an amazing fact. It's an amazing truth in light of our own waywardness and sinfulness. And we look at that and we say, how is this possible, God, for me to be holy and without blame when we're overwhelmed with our sinfulness and our carnality, which we all have. Let's not kid anybody. We know that's the way we are. We know that's who we are. And that purpose gets a little muddled, it gets a little cloudy until we learn God's plan. He not only has a purpose, but he has a plan for making that happen, for making you to be holy and without blame. He's got a plan to accomplish that. And you find that over in verse 11 of this first chapter. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Now, I didn't understand this till the year when I was doing this study last year. There's our word purpose. We've learned, I've told you what the purpose was. It was given to us back here in verse 4, that we be holy and without blame. But he gives then, in the end of this verse, the plan of how that can happen. And it says, who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. That's his plan. He worketh all things after the counsel. And the key to understanding this is the word counsel. That word means to take and have a planned arrangement, a planned program, setting things in order. This is what God does. He looks at you. He wants you to be holy and without blame. So according to the counsel of his will, he plans and he arranges your life. Did you hear that? He plans and arranges your life so that goal of his can be accomplished, that you be holy. See, make it practical, okay? Chad, God has planned and arranged your life and has arranged these kind of things in your life because he wants you and Jenny to both be holy. And so he brings these different things into our lives to accomplish that goal. And if you get a hold of this, and if you get a hold that not only God has a purpose for each of you, but God also has a plan. And so he will set forth different things that will happen in your life in order to make you holy. And so if God has this purpose, if God has this plan for you, you don't want to miss what the plan is. In fact, you say to me, Steve, what is God's plan? I've been struggling most of my life to find what this plan is. Can you tell me what it is? Well, I can tell you like this. The way you find out what the plan is through prayer. That's how you find it out. And that's what we're going to spend the rest of the time talking about this evening, is in verse 15 to the end of this chapter. There you have a prayer from the Apostle Paul that you can use for yourself and for other people in discovering what the plan is that God has for you so you can hear his call. He's got a plan for you and you want to hear his call. And the way you figure it out is through prayer. You have others praying for you and you pray for yourself. There's two sides to this. And I'm going to be switching back and forth all through this evening, talking about how you pray for others. And I'll say how you can also do this and you pray for yourself. Let's just get into this. And I found in the next number of verses, I found four things.
four tools that you can use that I think will be helpful for you to hear God's call. Verse 15, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." And then he gives his prayer. And you can make this personal for you, and you can use it for other people. Okay? Here's the first one, "that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you," number one, "the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened." If I was writing this book, or how should I say, if I was arranging this book and breaking them up into verses, which some man did for us, I would end verse 17 right there in the middle of verse 18. I would put "the eyes of your understanding being enlightened." I would put that with verse 17. The prayer here is that the Father of glory would give this person that you're praying for someone, "Lord, give Chad," may I use you this evening, "give Chad the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that his eyes, his understanding would be enlightened." You can use that for yourself. "Lord, I want to discover your plan for my life. And I would like you to give me the spirit of wisdom and understanding. Enlighten my inner eyes so I can understand." Now, what you need to see there is what we're praying for is that we would give wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, of Jesus. In order to learn God's plan, we need to know Jesus better. We need a spirit of wisdom. We need understanding. We need to have inner eyes open so we get to know Jesus better. That means we need to learn to know what Jesus likes, what he doesn't like. We need to know how he lived. We need to learn how he thinks. We need to get his vision of what he's planning to do. We simply need to get to know Jesus better. And that's one of the best ways you can pray for someone that's trying to find their way in life. "Lord, help this person to get to know Jesus in a deeper way." That's where we start. That's the first tool. Get to know Jesus in a very personal way. And pray, "Lord, open my inner eyes so that I can see and understand who Jesus is." And this is how you do that. You take this book and you study his life. You listen to what he says. Then you look at how he lived it out, what he said. See, this is what we are to do in getting to know Jesus better. Then the second one, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. There's the word we're talking about this evening. There's the word call. That you may know the hope of his calling. What we want to know this evening is we want to learn the plan, the calling. "Lord, help Darlene to know the calling, the hope that goes with that calling that you have for her." Use the person's name. Pray for him like that. You can pray for yourself. "Lord, I want to know the hope of this calling." Now, let me try to help you to understand what I'm talking about, what the scripture is talking about here in the hope of his calling. I shared with you how God calls us each to service. We're praying, "Lord, we want to know what that is. What plans do you have for me? What are you wanting me to do?" Someday you're going to say, "Chad, how long should we stay at GTO? Is this, after 2 years goes, you're going to be thinking, should we stay another year? Do we extend?" See, you got to understand what that calling is, how it works. But the hope of his calling, that word hope there, God not only has plans for each of you for your lifetime, whether it be 70 years and 10 or whatever it is, but God has plans for you in eternity. In eternity. And I don't know if God reveals a lot about what that is, but I think he wants you to think about it. The hope that goes with this calling. The hope, what will I be doing
1,000 years from now? What place will I be filling in God's kingdom, eternal kingdom? Well, I wonder if I might be working alongside Moses. Or perhaps maybe I'll be alongside King David. Or some other person in the scriptures that you know is now in the presence of God. See, that is so exciting to think that God not only has a plan for you today and for your lifetime, but He's got plans for you forever. And Paul is praying, says, when you pray for people, help them to catch that vision. As you pray for yourself, God, I want to catch this vision that not only do you have a plan for me in my lifetime, you've got something in mind for me for all of eternity. I don't understand what that is. But Lord, it sure is wonderful to contemplate. And something I'm probably going to say more than once tonight, when you hear truth and you embrace it, when you hear truth and say, I agree with that. That is the way it is. That's how I want it to be in my life. When you hear truth and you embrace it, that's worship. Like tonight, when I give you the truth that God has a plan for you in your lifetime and for all eternity, and you say, that is the way it is. That is exciting to me. I embrace that. I claim that for myself. And as you do that and you sit there in your pews right where you are right now and you embrace that, there is an awesome kind of worship that goes on as you connect with your Heavenly Father. And you just bask yourself. Lord, how is it that a sinner like me, saved purely by your grace, can somehow find a place in your kingdom, both now and in eternity? And you sit there and you bask in that and you adore Him and you worship Him. The third step, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. The riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. When you are born again, you get Jesus Christ. That's what you get. That's pretty easy to understand, isn't it? You're born again, you get Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought about what He gets? What does Jesus get when you are born again? He gets you. He gets me. I get Jesus. He gets me. He gets you. That's not a very good bargain. I get Him. He gets me. That doesn't seem like a very fair bargain. But that is the way it is. There was a word here that I missed all my life until about a year ago, and that was the word His. When I read that verse, I was always thinking about my inheritance. No, that's not what it says. That you may know the riches of the glory of His inheritance. Paul is praying for people, and as you pray for people, help Harold to know the riches of the inheritance of Jesus, that he is part of the inheritance of Jesus Christ. Help Harold to understand that. When you pray that for yourself, Lord, help me to understand the riches of your inheritance. That's me. Jesus Christ has no inheritance in the sinner. There's no inheritance for Christ in the sinner. He goes to hell. There's no inheritance for Christ. But for the believer, that's the inheritance of Jesus Christ. You are His assets. Have you ever thought of yourself as being His inheritance? You are His assets. And what kind of an asset are you for Jesus Christ tonight? It's sobering. What kind of an asset am I?
And if I'm an asset to Jesus Christ, and if you're an asset for Jesus Christ, you sure want to know His plan for your life. You don't want to miss it. You're His asset. You belong to Him. What are you doing with your life? What are you going to do with it? There's something about that. If you get a hold of that, as you pray for someone to get a hold of that, and they start getting that vision that they're an asset for Jesus Christ, you don't want to miss His plan. You don't want to miss the plan. There's one more tool. Let's continue reading. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe? Paul prays, I pray that you might know there at Ephesus the exceeding greatness of the power to those who believe, that you may grasp the power of God. You can pray for yourself, Lord, I want to know the greatness of your power to me who believes. The greatness of your power. Do you grasp the greatness of the power of God? It's kind of interesting. I can let the scripture speak for itself here. Because he elaborates on that. He tells you what kind of power that is in the next number of verses. Look, the exceeding greatness of his power to us were to believe. And that power is according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. That's the kind of power that's available to you. It's the kind of power that he wrought in Christ when he raised Christ from the dead. The kind of power that could make a dead man live is available to usward who believe. The same power, according to the same kind of power that raised up Christ, is available to you who believe. That's some kind of power. That is some kind of power. And not only is that available to us, but he also gives some more comparisons of the kind of power this is. It not only raised Jesus from the dead, look what else that power did. And he not only raised him from the dead, but he set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet. Now that is some kind of power. That power was given to Jesus Christ, and there he is, seated at the right hand of God, and all power, all dominion, everything is under him. That was given to Jesus. And he gave him to be head to the church, over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. When I think about the power of Jesus Christ that is available to us, and the comparisons that it uses here, it's just overwhelming. And it's that kind of thing, again, when you hear truth and you embrace it, the same power that raised Jesus is available to his children, to usward. You contemplate that. You roll that over in your mind and you embrace it. You said, the Bible says it. I believe that's true. And if that kind of power is available to me, that's going to help me figure out and hear the call that he has on my life. He's that big. He's that powerful. He's not wanting to keep you in the dark because he's the head of the body. What good is a head without a body? What good would be just have a head tonight? A head needs a body. And I don't understand this. Because God is complete in Himself. I understand that. He is a self-existing one. I understand that. But He has planned that you and I, as this body with Him the head, would bring fullness to Him. I do not understand that. How do you bring fullness to someone that is already the self-existing complete one? I don't really understand that. But the Bible tells me that's true. That the body brings fullness to Him. He's the head. We are the body. He wants us to go out and fill these plans, fill these places. He has set everyone in the body according to the purpose of His will. He has plans for all of His children. Now let's make this very personal for us tonight. Fortunately, for this kind of a message that I'm preaching tonight, you can go home and you can get the message all by yourself. You don't have to remember all the things I said. But what you can do, you can just start reading for yourself and make this personal. You can say, you can address your Father there in verse 17. He said, Father, give to me the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Jesus. I want to know Jesus better. Enlighten my inner eyes. Open my understanding so that I can understand. Lord, help me to know what is the hope of His calling. This calling you have for me, help me to know what it is, not only for my lifetime, but for the eternity. Give me a vision for that. And help me, Lord, to understand the riches of the glory of the inheritance of Jesus Christ in His saints. Help me to understand, Lord, that I actually am called and He desires for me to be an asset for Him. That He wants to use me some way in the future. Help me to grasp that. And then, Lord, I really want to know the exceeding greatness of Your power to usward, to those of us who believe. I really want to know and experience that power. And Lord, I don't want to go without that power. And then you can start reading about what kind of power that is. It's the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. How does this work now in everyday life? It works sort of like this. It's not like we have to call you to the front of the church like we did Chad tonight. That has its place. But it's not like we have to call and give you an individual charge. You know, some of those things Corinthians tells us that seem to be more feeble are necessary and they're more important. It looks like this. You go into the bathroom sometime this evening. It's a mess. It's a mess in there. Nobody cleaned this bathroom. Somebody needs to clean this bathroom. Who's going to do it? Now, I don't know how that works at Calvary Chapel, but I'm just using that as an illustration. When you begin to see a need for something like that, I'm not saying that's what you have to do, but someone does. What would it be like if no one ever cleaned the bathrooms at Calvary Chapel? Wouldn't have any visitors. But that's a crude illustration, but that is how life works. We go through life and we see a need. Nobody else may see. That may be the very thing God has let you to see. See, here's another way it looks. You know someone is lonely. You know it. Who's going to go visit them? I can bake a pan of rolls. I can take it to so-and-so. That's how this looks. That's how we hear the call. We see the need. And we come to the Lord. This person is lonely. Is this something, Lord, that You have for me to be a part of the body? Is this what You want me to do? take a youth boy, take a youth girl out for supper all alone. Spend the evening with them. Invest in them. You see a young man that's having a bit of a struggle? You see it. See? Maybe nobody else knows about it. Who's going to step to the plate? Someone in the body needs to step to the plate. Somebody needs to take that young girl out and spend an evening with her. You may know somebody that's very discouraged. You know it. Maybe nobody else does. You've been made aware of it. God is calling you. Will you go and pray with that person who is very distraught? If you don't, who will? Who's going to teach the junior Sunday school class next quarter? You know there's a need. I'm not saying you have to answer all those needs. I am saying that there are needs like that that every one of you need to listen to, need to answer the call. You need to hear it. And the reason we don't hear, we are so busy. We have our own agenda. We are wanting to get this thing done. We're wanting to make this big dollar. And so those things get pushed. Somebody else can take care of that. And again, you can't meet all the needs. I'm not asking you to meet all the needs. Don't ask me to meet them all either. But that's how a body works. That someone sees the need and sees it and hears the call. And it's accomplished through prayer. It's not that you have to jump up and do that. You come to the Lord, you pray about it. Lord, is this something you have for me to do? And the same power that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead is very capable of communicating to your heart and to mine what it is He really does want us to do. Is that practical? It's a little crude, but somehow I'm trying to make it simple enough so that you can reach out and fill a place in the body. But God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. It was no accident that God brought you to Calvary Chapel or to wherever you are. If you've been listening to Him, you're in whatever brotherhood you are, you find a place to fill at that brotherhood. It doesn't mean you have to stay there forever. You may be in another brotherhood. When you become a part of that brotherhood, you fill a place in that brotherhood. And if you will fill a place and hear the call, not only are you going to feel much better about yourself, that's a side benefit. You will get to enjoy the visions and the reality of an eternity with the One who is supreme and has all other thrones, all other dominions are under His feet. And you can be a part of His family, His kingdom. That's your opportunity. Are you listening to Him? Will you hear His call? Let's pray together. Father, it is so good to always, at the end of a message like this, to come to You and to just bare our hearts. And Lord, there is much about Your plans and the future that we don't understand. And sometimes we are overwhelmed because of our own carnality. But Lord, tonight, as we have sat here and listened to this scripture, we have basked. We have immersed ourselves in truth. And as we've done so, our hearts leap up within us. We marvel that You could have this kind of mercy toward usward to anyone who believes. We marvel at it. And yet we embrace it. Not that we think we are so worthy or so good. That's not it. But we know Thou art worthy. And because of who Thou art, and because of Your power, we come to Thee tonight and ask Thee, Lord, not only for Chad and Jenny and their future, but for all of us. Lord, Lord, show to us the place You have for us to fill in the body of Jesus Christ. And we will look forward throughout eternity to worship and adore Thee for giving to us this great gift of salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.